Welcome to the Dispatch Podcast. I'm Audrey Cullinane, and today we are joined by lovely featured guest, King Bob Infante. And he's here to talk to us today about the recent span of hate crimes that have been coming with the new political tendencies in this such polarized economy. Bubba, can we just start off with a little bit of an introduction with you and your experience as being a gay man in a very red state of Texas?
Yes. Well, as you said, well, first off, thank you so much for having me on here. Being gay in Texas, as we all know, is very hard. I came to terms with being gay in the eighth grade, which happened to be my COVID year. So really, I had the chance to be gay when no one was around me. When we came back for ninth grade, it was a very different thing because I was out, and it was strange because I had gone through everything on my own. Mm-hmm. So I was like, okay, it's something new. But I know it's a different experience for everyone. It is a complicated thing because we live in Texas, we live in Austin, which is blue, but Texas as a whole is red. Mm-hmm. And even then, even though Austin is a blue city, it's still filled with so many red, like,
people.
Yeah, red mm-hmm. people. And it's hard because, like, I come from a family that is very red. And we'll be out and about, and they're just like, they have, you know, there's the comments, there's the looks. Mm-hmm. There's so much involved, and it's just not cool.
I totally understand. Well, I went to Gariske Middle School, and I came out in sixth grade, and Gariske was definitely a super liberal school because it is mostly all of the elementary schools from Austin, all these little suburban areas.
Right.
But there were definitely a lot of instances in middle school, and this is kind of before the pandemic in like 2017, 2018, 2019, that people would give looks mm-hmm. or say literally slurs, not really knowing what they were saying. But I do think a lot of what you were talking about and how what you get from your parents, that can kind of influence how you yourself act. So would you say coming from a red family, as you kind of said, did that kind of influence your behavior towards gay people?
It did, for sure. Before COVID, in sixth and seventh grade, before I really figured out who I was, since I was raised in a very specific way, and by specific way, I was raised in the church, I definitely projected that on other people.
Mm-hmm.
I made the comments. I made the looks. I was aggressive towards gay people. And, you know, it's a full circle, really. It's a funny full circle, but it's also like you said, you are what you grow up with.
Mm-hmm.
You are what you, like, oh, it's like the saying, you are what you eat.
Yeah.
I was eating this mentality, and I projected it onto other people. And so it was, yeah.
It's like nature versus nurture.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. So how would you say you kind of escaped those more harsh, hostile boundaries and were able to kind of discover this about yourself in a safe way?
So I think COVID helped because I was at home a lot. And being at home, I was also around technology a lot. So it was, and it sends me to sort of look out more,
mm-hmm.
especially because when COVID was happening, we were in a position where we couldn't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
So we resorted to technology. And with that, I was just more curious, and I was open to asking, like, friends what things meant. I was open to asking teachers what things meant. And I became more aware of mm-hmm. what things meant. I was more aware of what the things my family and I did prior was offensive, mm-hmm. was not right, and just not, it would plain out, like, not ethical. Or
yeah.
It just, because, like, there's, what's the word? There's like, just human decency.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's not what we were doing.
Yeah, I totally understand. I think COVID, especially for our generation, like, going through puberty during COVID, like, for me, I got Instagram during COVID. Like,
I don't like the term, or I don't like terms, like you putting
a label on
a label.
I totally
because
agree.
Truly it is such a spectrum and you really don't know. Life is hard and you find things out about yourself. Like, I know some people it's hard to grasp that some a day, like for a while, someone may be attracted, like a guy may be attracted to men, but then the next upcoming year, like he's truly straight. Like, that's just life. Mm-hmm. You live and you learn.
Exactly.
And I think we need to become more accepting of that and or not accepting. We need to put that in our brain that that's a possibility.
Yeah.
Because like there's the biphobia of
exactly.
like,
exactly.
Oh, do you like men or do you like women? Or do you like, it's that back and forth and it's like who you like, it really doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the day, it's just.
What I want to see is a day where people can just exist and date whoever they want and you don't have to come out.
Exactly.
And that is.
I agree. Like, oh yeah, this is my partner.
Exactly. Because that is something about like Pride Week, like AISD Pride Week, that I kind of roll my eyes out because I feel like by identifying a group of people as LGBTQ, it kind of isolates them in a way.
Yeah.
And like, yes, it is a community that can build up these people and be like really influential for a lot of people and actually accepting themselves and learning about themselves. So it can be really helpful in those ways. But in another way, it is basically putting these people under an umbrella and kind of separating them from straight people as the default.
I agree.
So I just really want to see a day when it isn't so much of AISD Pride Week, but just like AISD Everyone Week. I don't know.
Right. And exactly.
Because I think that it's so important to have something like Pride Month or Pride Week that is saying we love you and we accept you. But I get kind of a backwards glance and I just kind of look at the guys that are holding the flags and mocking and I just feel more isolated in a way.
I agree.
You know?
Yeah, because I see the goal is we want representation, we want like peace, we want love, but then we're put in a situation where it's like we're really isolated because now we're these, it's sort of like we're being put on display.
Yeah, exactly.
And so now everyone has like the ability to mock us, has mm-hmm. the ability to be, when in retrospect, if we were just like, hey guys, love who you love, mm-hmm. go crazy, like, okay.
Let's just accept everyone and not have to separate
yeah,
them.
I agree. Because like AISD Pride, like why don't we call it Love is Love Week?
Mm-hmm.
Like, or some, you know what, yeah. something of the sorts where it's just
no,
like,
I love
very
that.
Sort of vague and it's like, mm-hmm. this is what's happening, we're leaving it there.
I think that would be so amazing. And like, especially just like me personally, like whenever they're like making the announcements on, I think it was Monday, they made an announcement about Marsha P. Johnson. Mm-hmm. And I just like felt eyes because I'm the girl with the short hair in the classroom.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's hard. And but it also, and with that, it's like, sometimes I think like the people reading the announcements, they're like straight students who like were forced to do this by their yeah. teachers because they were like, oh, come on, like we need someone. And they're like, okay, now we have Marsha P. Johnson. Like, they don't know who this person yeah. is. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think if anything, it should be, instead of forcing everyone to listen, it should be, oh, in our history class, we're going to introduce this into the curriculum. Like, I've seen a lot of examples of, like, people criticizing, like, Black History Month or Indigenous Peoples Month, because if you have, like, a curriculum of books you need to read, mm-hmm. teachers will usually keep it a white roster and only institute like a person of color's work
during
that month yeah. instead of just instituting it the whole year.
Right.
And that is kind of how I feel about this. It's just kind of oversaturated, you know?
I agree.
And yes, it is really beneficial. Yes, it can be super helpful for a lot of people, but it does definitely kind of degrade in a way that's not intended. So
right.
It's tricky. It's a tricky balance.
I agree.
Yeah. Circling to the political situation right now with the 2024 elections, and sorry, Trump is up like 5% in the polls.
Oh God.
Florida being the way it is and the increased polarization of things, how do you see the next couple of years being for the LGBTQ community? Because I've seen a lot of scared people.
I'm at a point where I'm like, what even is this country? Truly. I don't, and it is scary. That's the truth. I mean, the Don't Say Gay bill is like just the tip of the iceberg. And it's, we've come all this way for it to just, we've come all this way for nothing, really.
Yeah.
And it's like, And everyone's been saying, and it's true, we're going backwards. Because, like, now, and I, it's so annoying because, like we were saying, why can people just not be curious? Because it's one thing to be curious, and it's another thing to act on it.
Mm-hmm.
Curiosity, like, is such a human thing to do. It's in our nature to be curious.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, for representatives in our government to, like, not take into consideration that that's a thing, no matter, like, what bill they do, there's still going to be a 4 or 5-year-old kid that's like, what is gay? And that's not a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's the truth of what's happening. Like, we can't act like gay people aren't a thing.
Yeah.
So it's like, instead of, because that's another thing. I think people don't realize when you isolate something, people just get more curious about it.
Mm-hmm.
It's like with parents, when they don't let them go
something out.
Yeah, when they block them.
They say you're not allowed to
see exactly.
This movie.
They just make it, the kid just wants to do it even more.
Mm-hmm.
So like, it's like, why not just be like, hey, like be upfront about it. Oh yeah, gay people is mm-hmm. this. And then kids like, oh, okay, good to know.
Mm-hmm.
And
the idea of banning books is ridiculous because I think that's truly the best way to introduce it in
yes.
young ages. Like, if I didn't have books at a young age about, there was one, my favorite book, it was Grace for President, and it was about this little black girl who's running.
Aww.
They have a little school election, and it's her versus this white guy. And it's not even about race, but just, like, seeing a black girl become president.
Exactly.
Was so influential, like, especially living in Austin, Texas,
right.
where, you know, and it's kind of, it can go the same way for gay people, where if you live in a place where you aren't exposed to people that are different than you, this is the way that you need to be taught, and the
right.
way that you can just get this casual representation, which is so important. So the idea that we're limiting this is ridiculous.
I agree.
But anyways, that's just the podcast. Thank you so much for listening, Bubba. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you so much for having me.
If you would like to learn more about these LGBTQ rights and Pride Week, you can read the article in the newest issue of The Dispatch. And with that, goodbye.
Bye-bye.